Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia, it's episode number 480 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag tells you about another TV gig Tom Brady just signed up for. This one sounds very interesting to my comedic inclinations. At 12:30, the Heat topped the Celts in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. And in mere minutes, we have a Jordan Addison update for Longhorn fans and a preview of Mavs Warriors. I'm Trey Elling. Behind the glass today is the newest addition to Shirts and Skins. On top of being an integral part of the Flex ATX team, he may also be the best golfer and the nicest guy at the horn, both of which are admittedly pretty low bars. It is Cameron Parker. What's up, Cam? How you doing?
Trey, we're less than 24 hours from Jordan Spieth completing the Grand Slam.
Calling a shot. I like it. I hope Spieth can be clutch on the weekends. We'll see. And sitting across from me is the Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie, who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
You're damn right. Yeah, I think we got to see a lot of putts fall on Thursday and Friday before we start talking about career Grand Slams. I hope he's right, though. That would be an awesome story. There's probably five or six different storylines that I could deal with at the PGA, and that's one of them, man. If Jordan could scratch that one off the list. Hope everybody is doing well on a Wednesday. I got the Mavericks shirt on today. I am ready for the Western Conference Finals, and just in case you need to throw a prediction down, hornfm.com. We have a poll up for you until this game tips off tonight. What do you think's going to happen? You have every option there. Trey, we have no one predicting a sweep. Either way, nobody says sweep. We've got picks for Mavericks in five. We got Warriors in six, Mavericks in six, and Mavs in seven are so far the choices that have been voted on. hornfm.com. It's right there on the front page if you want to go vote before the games get started.
Would you like my kiss of death now or later?
I will take your kiss of death now because it gives us more of an opportunity to get past it.
Mavs in six.
Mavs in six.
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. Mavs in six. I think I said Warriors in six was my gut yesterday. I think I'll stick with that. I got to be, you know me, I got to stay self-loathing. I don't want the people to think I like my team too much. But in the end, I do think Golden State's a better team. If I thought the Mavs were better, I'd tell you. I thought they were better in 2011 through that whole run. And that's the last time I had this feeling, because it's the last time they had won a playoff series, was the championship series, until this run. Now Luke has found a way to help the Mavs win a couple. The question is, can they get through this series? There are some numbers to suggest they can, and we will definitely get into that. So I know a lot of Mavs fans are excited for tonight.
Yes, they are, and I feel like the Warriors are vulnerable right now, Chad. That was shown in the Memphis series, despite the fact that they were able to finish it off in six games. Obviously, the Grizz being without Ja Morant for a couple of those things is a big deal, and I think the Mavs really found something over the last two games of their most recent series, that upset win over the Phoenix Suns.
We'll definitely break that one down a little bit. We'll talk about last night where the Miami Heat flexed a little bit as a one seed and went up one game to none, but we thought we would get you started today with a little football update. It's not much of an update, but Trey, this is one of those stories where no news is definitely good news if you're a Longhorn fan.
Well, kind of, but there is also some news, some quasi-news, too. Yeah. Let's say some passive news in the process.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That is true. So the Jordan Addison situation continues to move forward. This is, of course, the Biletnikoff winner, was at Pitt, transfers, and the first thought everybody had was, it's USC. He's going to go to USC. USC got accused of tampering. If you missed that story, the Pitt coach apparently called Lincoln Riley to say, dude, what are you doing? Stop talking to my player. So it was that level. But then people obviously looked at Coach Marion, who is now here at Texas, was the receivers coach at Pitt and helped him get the Biletnikoff. And he's given him credit for that, by the way. Jordan Addison has said plenty of nice things about Coach Marion. So then Jordan Addison takes the trip to Austin, Lamborghini, Kane's chicken fingers, and no official announcement. Then he gets out to California. You and plenty of others said, all right, let's see if he gets in and out of California without telling Lincoln Riley yes. And he did. So now we are to the point where you're kind of sitting waiting for the next thing. But this to me is where the no news is good news, Trey, for you and all Longhorn fans and Cameron and all Longhorn fans listening right now. No news, good news. There has not been a trip to Tuscaloosa scheduled.
And I consider that to be news right now. Like, I figured by this point in the week, we would know if it was happening right now or if it was planned for the weekend.
That's big.
Mm-hmm.
That is big. And then this rumor about a fourth team. I was reading that maybe Ohio State, like if he was going to take a look at the Heisman Trophy winner route with Young, there was talk that maybe he would go down that C.J. Stroud route as well and say, oh, yeah, that's a guy that's going to go high in the NFL draft. And they're producing receivers. That's the other idea. Bama and Ohio State both producing high-level wide receivers right now, but there's been no report that he's going to Columbus.
It'd be understandable if he was considering them, but at this point I'm wondering if that was maybe the Ohio State side trying to drum up a little bit of interest there.
Yeah, so if I've said all along, if this really is about the best way to show himself off football-wise, in college football in 22, Bama made sense. Ohio State would have made sense. There are places other than Texas and USC to me that would have made sense. But if it's really going to come down to those two, if I was a Longhorn fan, I'd feel pretty good. Because there are certainly arguments you could make both sides. But I was looking at some numbers today, Trey. Neither of these teams was dazzling last year, necessarily offensively. Although, USC was top 25 in total offense and passing offense. They were 17th in the country throwing the football.
Wow.
Texas was 72nd throwing the ball.
That was not good last year.
If he just wanted to go side by side, I would also ask him, if I'm his buddy or friend or family member, well, how are these teams playing defense? They're equally bad. Texas was 100th in the country and USC was 89th. Neither of these teams playing great D. So they need you. They need you to help put up points. So I don't know how he's going to weigh all that out. Maybe there's friends and connections. The Caleb Williams thing has been talked about. And if it comes down to USC and Texas, does he look at it as, I've seen a little Caleb Williams, and I like that a little more than the question marks I've got wearing burnt orange? Because Hudson Card to him might still be a little bit of a question mark, and certainly Quinn Ewers is enough of a question mark because he just doesn't know.
So can I now bring you what is potentially bummer news on this front for Longhorn fans, where it really is trying to decipher what's really going on through modern hieroglyphics, cartoons, a.k.a. emojis.
Oh, no. Sure.
2 days ago, Chad, Lincoln Riley posted merely the peace sign, the hand symbol for peace sign, which a lot of people are interpreting as him getting Jordan Addison's commitment on Jordan's way out of town, either late Sunday or early Monday.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why I'm continuing to caution Longhorn
fans.
You're
tempering things right now.
Just don't get too emotionally invested in this one. If it happens, great. It's found money. The receiving core is going to be great next year regardless.
Yeah, so there's your slight Jordan Addison update. It's not done yet, but we'll get an update from Justin Wells, Inside Texas on 3.com at 105. We have our weekly conversation with him. What's he hearing? Our Longhorn folks on the inside feeling pretty good about it or not. And then also we can also maybe double check with him on this Ajai Hall story, non-story of the week. Apparently there wasn't really a story to tell, but social media flipped a little bit on Ajai Hall. But Trey, this is, you just said, talked about emojis. You got to be careful when you start messing with your social media nowadays. It really does freak people out.
Or not even not messing with your social media, just not having the proper thing up yet. Yeah. Like, there was complete fabrications being made up about him being on a roster or him having his stuff loaded with Texas gear, and that just wasn't the case.
Right.
Either of those things.
Yeah, whatever somebody flipped out about, it had been, that social media had been that way for like a month, a couple months. It's not like it just happened a couple days ago.
How many Alabama fans do you still think believe that that's true? or fans from other bases that are like, uh-oh, he could be coming here instead, or he could be sticking around.
Who knows, man? It's just there's too many signals that can be thrown out there.
We are so gullible.
Yeah, as of right now, the thought would be that there's no issue with Ajayi Hall, and he will be a Longhorn this season. And then the Jordan Addison thing, we'll just have to wait and see. So that is, but USC still in the lead. The good news for Texas is they're not being joined by a lot of schools on the list. Bad news would be it feels like the Trojans are at the top of that list, and it's going to take a little something to move them.
Cameron, need your stoic opinion on this one. Am I being too pessimistic here? What's your optimism level regarding the Longhorns and Jordan Addison?
I think if you're Addison, you want to play in the best system for you, right? You want to play in a system that's going to get you to the NFL. And I know what Sarkisian's done, but I feel like Lincoln Riley's done a little bit more at Oklahoma. And playing in L.A. from Pittsburgh, I feel like it's just – I know Austin's a great city, but I don't know. If I was a – was he 20 years old? 19 years old, 21, whatever. Mm-hmm. If I'm in his shoes and you're being offered me a Ferrari or a Lambo with Caleb Williams and enjoying the sunsets and driving around Sunset Beach, I think I would take USC. But I'm also an apathetic Texas fan at this point. So yeah. I already mentally have decided that he's going to go to USC, so I don't get my hopes up.
Yeah. It would be the bigger contrast in a way. If he really has been, and we don't know what he thinks of Pittsburgh overall, but you know, pretty good size city, but if he's dealing with a lot of cold and he wants warmth, if he's been dealing with a lot of, you know, snow and concrete and buildings and he wants the exact opposite of that, I think the Cali sunsets and the beach and everything might provide that. But I think both LA and Austin would give him a contrast if that's ultimately what he's looking for. A college environment that you're not, that something about the college experience he didn't get at Pitt. I think both could provide that for him.
Yeah, I'm almost certain that he ended up out on a lake on a boat during his time in Austin. May not have been a ton of pictures taken on that, but they want to show him that side of things, too.
Oh, yeah, you got to lean on the water because you know what he's going to see out there.
That is total spitballing by me, by the way. Nobody has told me this. I would just be shocked if it didn't happen.
Yeah, you ever walked under that sign at the Santa Monica Pier and then walked out and looked at the water?
Right.
It's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. And I'm not even a crazy, you know, freaky ocean guy. It isn't necessarily, but it gets me every time I'm there. Like when you see that, it's impressive.
Like, and you just see this magnificent sight,
yeah,
even if you don't want to get into it.
Exactly. It's just amazing to look at. So, and for whatever he's looking for, that would be, it would be tough to beat. So, and I had not heard about the Lincoln Riley emoji. That's fantastic. People are trying to figure out what it means when the head coach sends out an emoji.
Well, the funny thing is it probably means exactly what everybody is assuming, too. We just have to be that discreet, non-discreet with these things.
He should have done like a... what do you call it? He should have done the Cliff Kingsbury like flex of the house or something. Didn't I see, though, there was something sent out over the weekend? I saw a picture. Somebody like captioned it with, supposedly this is the view from Lincoln Riley's house. Did you see that one?
No.
So I think, I don't know, I'm sure he did let that get out. It was just it was like a sunset, some lighting going on a walkway, and then off in the distance you see some palm trees, and you see the ocean like way off in the distance, and the sun is setting, and I thought, yeah, it's a good way to play that.
You can't compete with that.
No, it's a great way to play it. It really is. So Jordan Addison, we will wait. And I'm also seeing little notes today of maybe by the end of the week something will be announced. But we'll talk to Justin Wells about that. What is he hearing timeline-wise? Because now, Trey, this one starts to feel like a O'Shawn Mathis thing where there really isn't a deadline. I mean, we could all guess on when he would like to have this done when, you know, media days come around. I would assume you got to be, no, you don't have to. I would assume a decision's made by then. I'm assuming Sarkisian or Riley doesn't show up at their conference media days answering, hey, what about Jordan Addison?
No, because he's going to want to be on campus by this time next month. And obviously the media days are going to be the middle of the following month.
Of July,
so,
right.
Yeah, that would be two more months. No, this may very well be announced by the end of this weekend.
Yeah, could be, or certainly could be a Memorial Day kind of thing. So keep your ears open for that. We will obviously let you know when we know something with Jordan Addison. All right, so plenty of football on the mind. You know football never dies around here for us, but there is a lot of basketball to talk about right now, mainly because the Dallas Mavericks shocked the NBA world by taking the one seed out in the West and taking them out in impressive fashion. So tonight, it is the Western Conference Finals game one. I have not heard about any major injuries going into this game for either side. Cameron, back me up here. Any injuries? We've talked about it with Boston and Miami, but I don't think there's any big injuries affecting either team.
No word yet on Gary Payton's return. If he does return, it might be the NBA Finals. Steve Kerr is back. He's out of health and safety protocols.
Oh, yeah, that was the one I was looking for. Okay. I saw him interviewed, so I figured that meant he was back.
You guys think he's wearing a mask on the sidelines tonight?
Kerr?
Yeah.
Wow. The Boston guy has been, which is weird. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say Kerr. I'm going to say Kerr is going to be a little more sensible than that.
Regardless, it is obviously a big deal getting him back on the sidelines. He is, in terms of voices that these guys are hearing from in huddles during timeouts, pregame, postgame, he is the straw that stirs that drink. So to have him back is a big deal. And obviously for this series to start in Golden State is something that really works to the Warriors' advantage too. But I really am interested to see just how well the Mavs deal with that pressure, because they handled it as good as humanly possible just a couple of games ago against what is maybe as raucous a crowd as exists in the NBA right now.
All right, before we go any further with the Western Conference Finals, let's give those sponsors some love. Let's go Specs Set Piece in case you need your drinks.
The Specs Set Piece is brought to you by Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. The biggest saves of the match start at Specs, official partner of Austin FC. Specs, the fun starts here.
Might be a good way to get ready for Mavs and Golden State. Hit Specs, get yourself some fine foods and spirits and all kinds of good stuff. I would have loved to have seen it as a Mavs fan. See the Mavs get off to a good start with Mike Brown coaching Golden State, because I think he would have frozen. I think he would have just gone catatonic. But Steve Kerr is going to adjust to it. So how does the series get called early on? And then, like I talked about yesterday, where's the attitude level both sides? Because I love it. I love watching Luka and his confidence take over. And I know some people may not, but I love watching Steph Curry and his confidence take over his team. Which of those things happens first tonight? What mood is Draymond Green in tonight? I think all that's going to be interesting to watch, because both these teams were involved in series where there was some snarkiness, there was some snippiness in the last round, specifically Golden State. That Golden State-Memphis series, it was felt like every game could turn into a brawl. And Luka can get that way too. He was pretty mellow against Phoenix, thank goodness, but he and Crowder were jawing at each other for a lot of that series.
I mean, Golden State gets their chippiness from Steve Kerr in his days with the San Antonio Spurs as a player, and then also a guy who learned from Greg Popovich. They can play a number of different styles, and that includes with the sort of physicality, and they will be the initiators there too. They are trying, amongst other things, to get under your skin, and I know that Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, they will have those other guys, those younger guys, loose and ready to play. They will not be feeling the pressure. And it's important for the Dallas Mavericks, if they do experience a little bit of success early on in this series, to have a very short memory with that. That's nice. Celebrate it shortly after the fact, but then get ready. You need to remain focused all series long to beat a team with this much playoff and winning experience in the postseason.
Yep, completely agree. Remember, if you have a text and a comment on it for tonight, a prediction on the series, Specs text line is 337-3776. Somebody texted, "I don't feel good about everybody picking the Mavs over the Warriors." There's some confidence around the Mavs. I am picking the Warriors in six, if that makes you feel any better. And Cameron, I'll admit, as a Mavs fan, I got some concern about going into this series. I want to know how much of what I just saw was how bad Phoenix was. I know that Luka's getting a ton of credit, and the Mavs and Jason Kidd are getting a ton of credit. The one seed just puked on its shoes and lost by 60 combined in the last two games. How much of what I just saw was an awful Phoenix team, and how much was the Mavs? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, look at the Miami Heat. They played the Hawks, who have been awful this year, and then they got Philadelphia, two teams. And after halftime, you're kind of wondering, wait a second, Celtics are up by 8, 6 points. Maybe the Miami Heat aren't good, and then they turn it on the second half. So I think that's some good news for Mavericks fans. As not a Mavericks fan, I'm pretty confident in what you guys can do. We can get the numbers later on in this show, but 3-1 the regular season against the Warriors. Mavericks are playing the best basketball, I believe, since the All-Star break. Dallas had the second best record in the league behind
That's right,
Boston Celtics. So I know they lost game one, but missing Horford and Smart. So maybe the Dallas Mavericks, what you should be asking, Chad, not that the Suns are bad, but maybe the Dallas Mavericks are really good.
Well, I like that. I like that way of thinking. And Trey, also, I think it's 8 out of the last 10 the Mavs have won over the Warriors. So they're in a good string right now. Now, you could go back and look at the guys and who played in what game. Klay Thompson was obviously out for a big section of it. How healthy he is in this series is a big deal. But the Mavs have matched up well, and I'll keep bringing it up. We've seen such a bad side of Golden State in that last series. Like, it's hard to get it out of my mind that they trailed by 55 and just weren't interested in Game 5. They had no interest in playing that game. I'm not even sure why they got on the plane. I wanted to see them step up. What was that, 5 or 6? That was that, can't believe that was
the 50-point loss?
The one where they lost the game. Did that series go 7 or just 6?
Six.
It was just 6. So that was game 5 I'm thinking of. I wanted to see if they could really step up and make a point, and they just did not play at all. So I my gut says they're not going to put a game like that out there in this series, but, I mean, who knows?
Look, that was an embarrassing loss, no question about that, but they are so mature in these situations that they understood, they're big dogs especially, that we're not going to kill ourselves trying to get in when we're already this far down, this early in the game.
Yeah.
So you saw Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, you saw them sitting much of the second half, but they were loose at the end of it. They were dancing with the Memphis crowd. And at that point, if you were a Grizzlies fan, you had to get a little bit worried that they were already over that embarrassing moment and ready for the next thing. And then they were able to close it out the next game.
Yeah, and I'm the old man fan. I admit it. I'm concerned that I didn't like that my team got beat by 30 before they had the two blowouts. They got beat by 30 in game 5.
That's true, yeah.
But it's one of those things. Maybe it is that kind of the modern way of looking at it. Once you're getting beat, just go ahead and give it up the rest of the game. Keep yourself as fresh as you can and then attack in the next game. So tonight is game 1, Mavs and Golden State. We'll take a look at that one throughout the day. If you have thoughts on it, let us know. 337-3776. And remember, you can go vote in our poll on Horn FM.com. How do you think the series is going to go? Up next, we'll take a look at that Eastern Conference final. It started last night, and Miami is up 1-0. We'll break that down. Crap bag telling you what Tom Brady's got in store the next couple years at 12:45. And Justin Wells of Inside Texas and On3.com at 1:05. What's he hearing about the Jordan Addison story? Plus, he's a big Mavs fan. We'll get him to break down the series as it gets started tonight. Don't move. It's the Horn. Always one to get you moving on a Wednesday. Hope you're having a good hump day. Any particular reason, Cameron?
So Wednesdays, it's not going to be Wanker Wednesday as when Specs Dexter suggested last week. So I'm thinking way back Wednesday, focusing on a different genre each week. I'm going to go with 60s soul music way back Wednesday today.
Cool. It's a good place to start. He became known for that. A little bit of that. A little bit of soul in this guy. James Brown to get us started.
What's the first song each of you is going to pick if we did have a Wanker Wednesday?
So the idea there was an artist that at once was great, but then something fell apart in their lives. Is that what it was?
There's a couple different ways you could take it.
A couple different ways. Or is it just an artist you don't like?
It could be an artist that you think is a bit of a wanker, or it could be a song about said wanker.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a whole nother path. The way it was originally presented, the first artist that popped in my head was Michael Jackson for that one.
Oh, yeah.
The artist that had a certain level of a career, and then there was stuff away from the career that makes you think differently about the guy.
It got super embarrassing for him at the end.
Oh, yeah.
The whole pedophilia stuff, but obviously also the fact that he no longer had a nose by the time he died, Chad. That was not a good look.
Yeah. Just wasn't really a properly functioning adult in a lot of ways.
Right.
That was tough. And I think Cam mentioned R. Kelly. That's another one that obviously pops to mind, too.
Ooh, yeah. He may be one of my least favorite wankers musically of all time.
Yeah, but I like the 60 soul idea for today. I think we're gonna get us moving on a Wednesday.
And he may have a song or two to contribute to the other part of that equation if you are going to go the other route.
Yeah,
with choosing
he does.
Wankers.
You're right. Yeah, he definitely does.
More than a song or two, that's for
more
sure.
More than a song. You got an album or two on that one. All right. Thanks to Cameron Parker for his great work. Chad and Trey with you. Shirts and Skins on a Wednesday. And we remind you that the Horn and Flex AT present the All Flex Team, best of the best in high school football in our area. It is coming. They will be recognized at a banquet in 2023. Keep listening to the Horn for how the team will be determined, and check out flxatx.com for more info. We're going to start revealing those watch lists after Memorial Day, so check that out. And coming up tonight on the Wednesday Night Flex Show, Zach and Snoop and the crew are going to interview a local high school football player you may want to know about. We'll tell you about that coming up at 1:30 in our Flex 30 segment. All right, lots of comments coming in, votes coming in on hornfm.com for this Mavs-Warriors series. The most popular vote on our poll right now is Mavs in 7. The confidence is there among the Mavs fans. We have had a vote or two in for Warriors in a sweep. How dare you for that. And now it's mixed up all through the choices. Warriors in 5, both teams in 5, both teams in 6 have gotten votes. But Mavs in 7, Trey, is the most popular vote right now.
I think it's possible. It does scare me a little bit to hear that a lot of people are on Team Mavs with this one, picking the upset to happen, because oftentimes the masses, when they're choosing an upset, are dead wrong about that. But I really do believe, obviously picking them in 6, that Dallas has a great chance to pull off the impossible here. We've seen this happen plenty of times in the past where a team who has been playing good ball in the second half of the season, as Cam pointed out, just finds something that really just gets them into a groove going forward. It really did feel like these last two games, Dallas found that.
Yeah, speaking of finding something, did you check out the third quarter of Heat Celtics last night? Because Miami found something.
So remember yesterday when we rated the star on each team, and I think each of us had Jimmy Butler as 4th. I was a little bit nervous about putting him 4th, Chad, because he has a killer instinct about him that maybe other than Steph Curry doesn't exist in those other two guys right now. And he came out pissed off from the locker room to start the second half, and he completely took that game over, as did the Heat's defense too, by the way.
Yeah, they did. They played so well. He was so efficient too. 12 of 19 shooting. He ends up with 41 points, 41-9, 5 assists, 4 steals, 3 blocks.
He was the man.
That is a wild little line. And, Cam, one of the things I love about Jimmy Butler is when he gets that jump shot going, it's one of the smoothest jump shots I've ever seen. He doesn't get, you don't think of him that way. But when he gets that little turnaround, he hit over Jason Tatum when they're trying to make the run in the fourth quarter. It's just so pretty when he gets it going.
Jimmy had, I think I tweeted it, he had like 5 different sequences offensively and defensively where I audibly went, oh, my God.
Yeah,
there was a block on Jason Tatum in the corner that deflected into like the 7th row, like past DJ Khaled, and he just looked around and he had that mean mug on his face. And then on the other end, he had a Peyton Pritchard like went on an up fake, drove in, and Butler just swallowed the ball from him. It was just like, oh man, that you can't do that. And then he went and capped it off with that bank shot that really solidified the game. He shot 18 free throws as well.
Yep.
Which, never a good sign if you're the Boston Celtics. And funny, the last time that Jimmy Butler actually shot that many free throws, I believe, was game 4 of round 1 against the Boston Celtics back in 2017 when he shot 23 free throws. They actually lost that game by 9, but 41 points, 9, 5, 4, and 3 blocks. You're not going to win when Jimmy Butler's doing that.
And by the way, guys, that wasn't a Dwayne Wade in 2006 18 free throws either. Those were earned.
He earned them. Yeah. And it was a physical brand of ball, which is what he loves. How about these for numbers? So Jimmy Butler, first player in NBA history to record each of his first five 40-point games with his team in the playoffs. First guy to do that. He's the second player ever in the postseason with 40, three blocks, three steals in a conference or divisional final. The other guy is Michael Jordan. And he is the fifth player ever in NBA history with 40-point game in each of the first three rounds of the playoffs. The other four guys are LeBron, Harden, Iverson, and Michael Jordan. That's silly.
Jimmy Butler is an incredible leader. He is intense, and he maybe has a bit of a pissed-off attitude a lot of the time, so it can wear thin. But with the right group of guys around him and at this point in his career, that's maybe another element that we didn't talk about enough yesterday with him, is getting those guys to really rally behind him. Now, if you're a Celtics fan, you were playing this game without Marcus Smart and Al Horford, who was huge in the second half of their most recent series. So, and it's also a game happening in Miami, and your hope is to maybe pull off one of two here. But going down 2-0 is not the end of the world, obviously, with the series going back to Boston after that. So I think the Celtics fans can put this one behind them pretty quickly, while also being well aware of what Jimmy Butler is capable of when he really wants to go there.
Yeah, I heard Celtics coaches and players after the game obviously bringing up the lack of Smart and the lack of Horford. It has to be mentioned. It's hard to talk about the game without it. If I'm a Celtics fan, the other good news, Trey, would be this wasn't one of those Jason Tatum games where he disappeared. He had 29.
Oh, he was
led
good.
The way. Had a good game.
Brown was too.
He didn't have the best game of everybody. That obviously went to Jimmy Butler. But he was there, engaged, ready to roll. They're going to need to find that third and fourth contributor. And then for the Heat, they've got to also realize that every single game, Jimmy Butler can't give you 40. So they're going to need to find that. Like, nobody else had 20. 18 off the bench from Hero was the number.
That's actually encouraging for them. They really need to get him going because he is has been a very valuable secondary scorer for them.
Can he be that guy in every game? Can they win this series if Hero's the second leading scorer in all the games?
Possibly. Yeah. I mean, he proved to be a great secondary scorer in their run to the finals last year, so he can be that, but he's been wildly inconsistent in the playoffs.
Because the thing that I don't know if it's sustainable and if it travels is Vincent and Struess doing what they did. Cameron, they had 28 combined. Now, that's a home game, and that's awesome. And I know they're starters. Even though they're the others, they are starters as well, but I don't think they can count on that throughout this series.
Gabe Vincent hit two threes in that third quarter. He had one that was from back in Boston where he shot it from over Jason Tatum in that 18-2 run to start the third quarter. And
hell,
it was like,
shot.
If they're going to make those, they're probably going to win this game. And Struess, don't forget, it's a big revenge series for him because he was a Boston Celtic and they released him.
That's true. I forgot about that. You're right. Credit to the Celtics in that first half. They hit some tough shots. Mm-hmm. Jason Tatum had the most interesting maybe stat contrast in the game is he had 12 or 14 points in the paint in the first half and none in the second. They shut him down in that second half, but those little runners he was hitting in the first half, Trey, were tough shots. All kinds of guys hit tough shots last night. This is going to be a fun series. I think Boston and Miami, they're going to play a while.
Guys, one of the things I love the most about Jimmy Butler's stat line with the 41 points is the 0 3-pointer number.
Yes.
Man, that appeals to the old school basketball fan of me.
Thank you for saying that, because I was with you. When he was 0-for-1 and he took that second one, this little voice inside my head said, miss that, man, miss that. Let's clang that one. Let's clang it. Because yeah. I'm rooting for Miami in the series. I thought they had the game anyway. But you're right. That is a great – I thought as soon as they threw that number up, I thought of him, obviously, but then I thought of a guy like DeMar DeRozan – mm-hmm. who has embraced the mid-range and makes that a huge part of his game. Kawhi Leonard is probably one of the best, you know, guys of the last few years to really talk about that, where they will go full commitment and not even attempt the threes. Jimmy Butler does all that, and you're right, 0-for-2 from beyond the arc. He was so good last night. Miami up 1-0, but like we talked about, that's what it's supposed to be. Boston still has a chance to steal one tomorrow night. So all Miami did is what they're supposed to do.
Chad, we have an update on the, I guess it's quasi-Jordan-Addison story. More of an update on the Lincoln Riley peace sign hand symbol story
that's
from
exciting.
Monday.
All right, a coach emoji update for everybody.
Coach emoji update. Thank you to Chris Bennett, the unofficial associate producer of Austin sports media, even far away in Washington now.
Hey, he's closer to Lincoln Riley now.
Apparently, some believe that the peace sign was for the commitment of Coppell, Texas four-star cornerback Braxton Myers.
Aha.
Which did happen on Monday.
See?
So
there you go.
Let the optimism loose, Longhorn fans. No, don't do that still.
Well played, Chris Bennett. See, now we got Chris Bennett. If you're a Longhorn fan, you feel good about a recruiting story like this because Chris Bennett is now stationed in the Northwest. He and the family have moved to Washington State, so he's closer to those stories. So he's hearing the chatter out there in Pac-12 country on what that means. All right, so that emoji might have actually been for a different player because I'm assuming, Trey, if there was something to report, Lincoln Riley would not do it cryptically. Here's my prediction. Whichever team gets to find out Jordan Addison plays for them, we are all going to know definitively when it happens.
So you think he gave him a promise that he wouldn't flash the classic USC V to show the V up for USC?
I think he's going to let the kid announce it when he wants to, but I think when it's time, Texas or USC, or if there ends up being a third team in this, that team is going to let everybody know when they can, and it's not going to be hard to figure out.
We already have another update on the Lincoln Riley peace sign hand symbol emoji, Chad. You're not going to believe this. Cam, can we get the breaking news sounder, please?
Feels like an SNL skit all of a sudden.
Have you seen Buckwheat being shot? What happened, Trey?
He was apparently saying peace, literally and figuratively, to a couple of OU fans that he blocked on Twitter. So that's all that it was for, just saying, sayonara, suckers.
There it is. There it is. Longhorn fans, keep hope alive. Keep Jordan Addison hope alive. Oh, my God. I love these modern social media stories. He wiped his social media. Did you see what he put on social media? Did you see the emoji? How many emojis did he use? Did he use four emojis? Did he use the fire emoji? Was it the low fire emoji or the high fire emoji? Did he use the poop emoji? What kind of poop emoji was it? Was it the darker poop or the lighter poop? Because it says a lot. You know, with the lighter poop emoji, that means you're not as mad.
Are there different shades of the poop emoji now?
I don't know. I have made that up. I have no clue.
If there are, I'm about to start sending the green shade all over the place.
Please no. Please no.
Starting with my mom.
That is rude. NBA Western Conference Finals tonight, game one. It's an 8 o'clock start. Remember, the Western Conference is all on TNT. Let's hope they don't take as long to tip that game as ESPN did last night. Thanks for telling us the game tipped at 7:30, and then it really tipped at 7:45. Appreciate you. So I guess tonight is 8:15, 8:20, something like that. Scheduled as an 8 o'clock start on TNT. There's my old man gripe for the last 5 minutes. All right, coming up, the crap bag. I'll tell you another TV gig that Tom Brady has signed up for, plus another indicator that the XFL might survive, you know, a week or two. This is The Horn. Yes, indeed. Cam's going with some 60 soul today. We started with James Brown, and I'll admit it, I know the Beatles cover, but I don't know this one for sure.
I don't either.
I don't know the original artist for sure, so I'm just going to have Cam tell me because I don't have the guess here. Who is it, Cameron?
Barrett Strong.
No, I didn't have that. A day of my life.
Do you guys prefer this version, the original, or the cover? By the Beatles. There's been a couple of different covers of this song done.
Since it's the one I heard first, I'll probably lean towards the Beatles a tad. But this is, I mean, over time, it's probably a better version. The original's probably better.
Well, both are different, completely different versions, I think, of the song, right? The Beatles is more a little bit bluesy rock and roll.
It's got a little bit of punkiness in the voice, too.
Yeah.
That's why I ultimately like the Beatles version.
Yeah, you get the good scream in there with the Beatles. Yeah.
It's like Little Wing. I think Little Wing is Jimi Hendrix's best song, but when Stevie Ray plays it, I think it's a little bit different, but it's like, oh my God, this is a great song.
Yeah. Because it's a little cleaner?
Yeah, well, it's That and, well, Stevie Ray's version, I think Little Wing's like 2 minutes long by Jimmy, but Stevie Ray goes like 6 minutes. I think it's one of the best guitar tracks that Jimmy ever did, but it's a very short song. But Stevie made it a little bit longer. I think both are good.
I didn't realize how much longer Stevie's version was. That's a good observation.
Yeah, man. I hadn't thought about that. This cover and then the cover the Beatles did a Twist and Shout, I lean a little more towards theirs because of the scream in John's voice. Nothing against this artist, who I didn't even realize Barrett Strong was an artist, so I'm trying to remember that one. And then the Isley Brothers did Twist and Shout, and they did an incredible job. I lean a little more towards the Beatles versions because John screamed.
What about Come Together? Beatles or Aerosmith?
The Beatles, but it's a damn good cover. I can
Aerosmith says
it's a damn good cover.
I think it's better actually, and I'm a huge Beatles fan.
It's a big statement.
I'm gonna make an admission on these airwaves right now. If he's listening, which he's not, please don't take offense by this. But you know how much I love Gary Clark Jr.
Yeah,
I cannot stand his version of that song.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was good coming out of that movie, whatever movie it was in. I thought it was cool.
It's fine.
It's fine.
That's not a song that needs to be redone over and over again, and it was done specifically, obviously, for the end of a superhero movie.
Here's one Beatles fans don't want to hear, but I thought Motley Crue did a pretty good job with Helter Skelter. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know if it's better, but pretty damn good.
Are you messing with me right now?
No.
Wow.
It's a good cover.
I'd like to hear that at some point.
Also, to the Paul McCartney fans, I apologize, but I think GNR's Live and Let Die might be better than Paul's.
Mm.
I've said that for years. It's a heavier song.
Completely agree.
I love Paul to death, but I think that might be a better cover.
See, I'm not as big of that era of Paul as you are. That's the Wings era, correct?
Well, see, that's another reason. See, I'm not as big a fan of the solo stuff as I am Beatles stuff, so I have no problem saying that.
Right.
The Beatles one is a little tougher for me to say. I don't know if I can quite go with him on the Come Together, but Aerosmith does a great job.
Mm.
The key to it is Steven Tyler really leans into the part of that song.
Okay.
He uses those lips and that mouth perfectly in that cover. It's wonderful stuff.
Yeah, I want to do a Steven Tyler imitation of him singing that song, but I'm going to save You, Cam, and the People's Ears, because
yes,
that would not sound good.
Probably a good thing.
What we Screeching cat.
What we need to bring the people is the update on the Jordan Addison / who's sending what emoji update. Apparently, we have an update from the Longhorn side of things. Cameron, what is it that's going on from the Longhorn side? Here we go.
Gosh.
Brennan Marion, new Texas coach from Pittsburgh, where Jordan Addison, of course, played his football out last year.
Yeah.
Yesterday at 4:19 on Twitter, tweeted, "There's a rumor going round about me and you stirring up our little town. The last week or two, there's a rumor going round, round, round. What you say, we make it true."
Now, did he tweet at Jordan Addison?
Nope, just by itself.
Okay.
But it did get a quote tweet reply by Kenny Pickett.
Okay, all right.
Who tweeted, "We get it at Brennan Marion, you like at Jordan Addison."
I see. So Kenny Pickett trying to have some fun with it. Former teammate, quarterback that helped Jordan Addison get the Biletnikoff. It's very exciting.
The passive nature of all of this is hilarious. Now, was that a Brennan Marion original, or was that citing lyrics from something?
I'm pretty sure it's lyrics from something.
Okay.
So maybe CB knows because he's a music guy.
I'd have to read those again. That did feel like a song.
Oh, it's by Barrett Strong, actually. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much. Thank you for that one. All right, let's get into the crap bag real quick. I'll tell you what Tom Brady signed on to do.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. If they pull this off right, it actually could be pretty good. Tom Brady has agreed to be the producer and in one case be the target of a new Netflix show that is focusing on roasts. That's right. In 2023, they will film the Tom Brady version of this. It is called, I guess you say, Groats. So instead of the GOAT, greatest of all time, it's Groats, the greatest roasts of all time. It will be on Netflix. And now, Trey, we just have to see who they're going to get. Because the Comedy Central roasts have become pretty legendary over the years, depending on who the roasters and the roastee is. The Tom Brady one, there's a heavy, heavy target there. A lot of people will enjoy that. to show up and rip on a guy that it's kind of tough to rip on because he's pretty much perfect.
This has been a great comedy vehicle going back more than 50 years now, Chad. I feel like 60 years going back to those Friar roasts. I'm on board with this because there are some great comedic minds out there who just do a phenomenal job of making fun of people. And who better to face that ire than the super famous? It's hilarious stuff because you have guys like, although I don't know if he's doing it anymore, guys like Anthony Jeselnik, who really cut his teeth on comedy and made a name for himself in that regard. And plenty of other comedians, too, by the way. Tony Hinchcliffe is one of the current greats. Austin resident, opens for Joe Rogan. There's a roast battle that's been going on here at Vulcan Comedy for the last several months now. Happened during South by Southwest with Brian Simpson. So, yeah, there are a ton of bright minds who do a great job with that. Jeff Ross, who's coming through Cap City.
Jeff Ross is probably the current king.
It would be stupid not to have him as part of this in some way, shape, or form because he's the roast master general. That's what he literally calls himself.
And my current queen might be Nikki Glaser. She's damn good at it.
So you've mentioned her name a couple different times. I'll be honest, I have not seen a ton of her comedy, but I know based on your opinion of her that I will dig it when I do.
She has pulled off a couple of gutsy jokes at some of those roasts that they've had. Unfortunately, well, who I think might have been the greatest of all time is no longer with us. Giraldo was one of my favorites. Greg Giraldo was a master of the roast, and unfortunately, he has left us.
Completely agree.
God, he was great. So
Kevin will send me videos of Greg Giraldo roasting various people from time to time. It really is some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen.
He's incredible. So that's coming up in 2023. Let's hope they get some good episodes done. And for the Tom Brady one, there's one guy I'm thinking of from his world. They got to get Peyton Manning to that. If they can get Peyton to roast Tom Brady, it's going to be an all-timer because then Tom can give it back to Peyton when he gets up there. That'll be so good.
You think Brady has that in him? He is a trash talker on the field.
Yes. Once I saw that golf deal that he was involved in,
I think
it's in him. Yes, I think he can do it. Aaron Rodgers should show up too and run his mouth a little bit. That'd be great. And then Tom gets up there and reminds him, I got 7 rings and you only have 1. It's going to be good.
Yeah, that is the low-hanging fruit, but you have to go there.
If they get the right guy. Also, real quick, crap bag update, because you know I'm the only one that cares. The XFL has announced that they have a deal with ESPN, ABC, FX, and, of course, some ESPN Plus stuff for next spring with the XFL. We don't know teams, cities, logos, or any of it yet. We do know they have some agreements with the NFL. So like I've said, let's just see if they can get to the end of the season.
Has the USFL gone completely digital yet, Chad? And that is to literally actually play the games on a video game only and not involve humans anymore?
No, they haven't done that. They're still rolling the games. I'll admit there's just not a ton of energy around it, even for somebody like me, because I remember the original. If you could wipe the original out of my brain, maybe. But when I see those logos, I think of Herschel Walker, I think of Reggie White, Doug Williams, Steve Young. I mean, there were legit badasses because it was a legit competing league for a while. I don't even know who. I mean, they're trying to find a couple stars right now, but it's just not great.
Dude, we saw it with the NFL. If you don't have fans in the stands, the product becomes significantly less entertaining. It's just a fact. And no amount of artificial people in the stands or artificial sound being piped in is going to make up for that.
Thankfully, they're not putting the virtual people in there.
That was so annoying when baseball did that.
But I can tell they're definitely cranking up that noise at times. All right, so be on the lookout for that Tom Brady roast show coming in the next year or so, plus the movie about the 80-year-old women that go see Tom Brady. Tom's everywhere. And when he's done, he'll be everywhere again because he's going to be hanging out with Fox. All right, coming up, your 1 o'clock hour starts with Justin Wells, Inside Texas on 3.com. We'll get his updates on the Jordan Addison situation. Plus, he's a Mavs fan. Who's he picking, Mavs or Warriors? Remember to go to hornfm.com and vote in our poll before Game 1 begins. You don't want to say you predicted it after the series started. You got to do it before Game 1 tips off. So jump on there and do that at 1:30. We'll tell you what's coming up tonight in the high school sports world on the Wednesday night Flex Show. We'll tell you who Snoop and the crew are going to be interviewing. Stay with us. It's The Horn.